Dennis Dodd of CBSSports.com is there. And Dennis, happy day after Thanksgiving. Ed Coleman here in New York. How are you?
Same to you, Ed. How are you? I'm good.
I'm doing well. I hope that you weren't in Columbus yesterday, that you were with your family and loved ones and having a good Thanksgiving. I hope, anyway.
I am. I was indeed. It was great.
Ah, good to hear. Good to hear. What is the, by the way, what is the weather for tomorrow? It's supposed to be pretty nice here. It's going to be nice there as well.
50 degrees and rain. There's like a 80-90% chance.
Oh,
so
that's not good.
Under the next question is, who does that favor?
Yes.
I'm not really sure. Ohio State sort of can run the ball, but this is the worst running team they've had in a decade. Michigan kind of hangs its hat on a power running game, so we'll see.
Yeah, and they have. It's not often they are an underdog at home, that's for sure. It's been a while, I know that.
51 straight for Ohio State being favored. I think overall, not just at home, 51 straight.
51 straight, all favored either way,
yeah.
Huh? All home or away. That is, yeah. That's what do you make of this? First of all, what do you make of Urban Meyer this year, and what do you make of this Ohio State team this year too?
Well, you can't talk about the game unless you talk about Urban Meyer and his what looks like health problems. I mean, ABC chose to like have a dedicated camera on him last week at Maryland, and he looked in distress. Hands on knees, head bowed, wincing at times, not even going to the huddles during timeouts. And he's made it public that there is something there. He had brain surgery in 2014. His cysts have flared up again. You know, and obviously this game is not the place to go to relieve stress. This is as stressful
precisely,
as it gets. So, you know, I would expect I don't know, off-putting as it sounds, we'll have a dedicated camera on Urban Meyer tomorrow.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who believe this could be the last regular season game that he has. You believe that as well? Or
I have said since the Courtney Smith, Zach Smith thing that the way I put it is I don't believe he'll be the coach in 2019.
Okay.
What form that takes, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Does he take a year off? Certainly he's not going to get fired now, but that was an issue in August. But I just think if it's not the health issues, I think that the administration's had enough. He's had enough of the administration.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't think Courtney Smith is credible. I think he's still upset that he got 3-game suspension. I think he's upset at the president who gave him that suspension. So I think they'll part ways. And I don't want to say it won't be that big a deal, but if you look at Woody Hayes, if you look at Jim Tressel, Ohio State football is bigger than whoever's coaching it. It's that good. It will come back. It will be good. They'll get somebody, maybe someone we haven't even thought of, but it'll be a great coach if he leaves.
Yeah, no, I would concur with you there, absolutely. And again, this is a question for another time, too, as well. But I can also see Meyer coaching again after a little rest as well, too. Can you?
Yes. A lot of people think this is just part two of the Florida saga where he took, you know, a couple of years off and then went to Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to happen here. He takes 19 off and reemerges with, you know, maybe back in the SEC with Auburn. I'm just speculating.
But, gotcha.
Yep. You know, you never know what's going to happen. These guys are wired a different way, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
You've had brain surgery. You have headaches that are debilitating that interfere with your ability to do your job. But all they think about is coaching ball.
Yeah.
And I do think he'll be back.
It's a great way to put it. Yeah, I know. It's amazing how you can, I guess, lock everything out, even you know, in the midst of being doubled over on the sideline like you are. Yeah, or try to lock it out. You know, it is kind of it's scary in a sense, but it's also fascinating to watch too. Well, on the other, let's go to the other sideline because there's a few questions there as well as far as this game and Mr. Harbaugh and a must win situation for him.
He has to win despite winning 10 in a row, despite you know being in the top four and seemingly turning this thing around. Third 10 win season in 4 years for Michigan. He absolutely has to beat Ohio State. Tomorrow, Ed, it will be 2,555 days since Michigan has beaten Ohio State. I know that because Ohio State has a clock running in its facility that shows that every day. and this is, I sum it up this way. We can talk about X's and O's, but Michigan fans hate Ohio State more than they will ever love Jim Harbaugh. And that's it.
Yeah.
He has to beat Ohio State. It's one of the biggest rivalries in the country. He's got the team to do it. We mentioned they're favored. And I actually think they will win. I think they're the better team. Ohio State's defense has, since the Purdue game, including the Purdue game, in the last month, has given up 449 yards per game. If that was over a season, that would be 108th in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fix 4 weeks of bad in 1 week, I don't think. I think Michigan handles them.
And Michigan, too, you know, I think they have the number one defense in several categories, but they've been spotty at times, too, I think. Not as spotty as Ohio State, but they have been spotty.
Yeah, they gave up, 20 points to Indiana. And I think they're one of only, four teams that haven't given up 28 this year. So they've been pretty consistent. They're giving up 234 yards per game, which I don't think anyone in the country has given up that few points per game since about 2010, maybe Alabama. I looked it up today. I can't remember. But
okay. That's
pretty good in this day and age when NFL teams are playing games into the hundreds.
Yep.
And combined score, copying the offenses of college, that's pretty good. And they'll try to do that tomorrow. Dwayne Haskins gives Ohio State their best chance of winning.
Mm-hmm.
He's a gunslinger. His numbers right now may be the best single season of any quarterback in Ohio State history, completing almost 70%, 3,700 yards passing, 36 touchdowns, tied to the lead in the country. You really have to go back to Art Schleister to get those kind of numbers. And if they win, it's going to be, you know, he's going to throw for 400 yards tomorrow. That's the best way they win.
That's going back a ways, too, when you bring up Art Schleister, for sure. That's and he's got, you know, he has some Dobbins and Weber. He's got some running backs there, too. And, you know, I guess who can do some damage or offset a little bit of damage there and help him somewhat tomorrow, too.
Well, I think last week Dobbins ran for 160-something yards, but it's a totally different world doing that against Maryland and doing that against Michigan.
Good point.
And they just haven't run the ball well this year. All they've got going, I'll say it again, all they've got going for them offensively against Michigan is Dwayne Haskins and those receivers, because I guarantee, especially if Jace Winovich plays, he's a huge question mark with what looks like a shoulder. Typical of Michigan-Ohio State week, Jim Harbaugh isn't saying anything, but he landed on it awkwardly last week against Indiana, and we shall see. But if they have him, it's going to be Katie bar the door against Dwayne Haskins.
Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports joining us. He's in Columbus, Michigan-Ohio State, likes Michigan tomorrow to win the big game. You mentioned points in a game before, so how many are on the board tonight between West Virginia and Oklahoma when we're done?
Oh, that, you know, it's a typical Big 12 game. I thought I saw the weather. It looks like it's going to be a little bit cold there, but that's one of the toughest places to play in the country at West Virginia. So I expect those fans are right on top of you. They're right behind the bench. It'll be a shootout. Neither defense is worth a darn, especially Oklahoma, which is they've switched defensive coordinators. Still gave up 40 to Kansas last week. That's the most points Kansas has scored in a against a Power 5 team since 2010 in lowly Kansas. So I would expect this thing to go, not be surprised if it goes into the 50s.
Interesting. I'm going to be intrigued by this game, Dennis. The Wash and Wash State. I think that's an intriguing game to watch.
Oh, it's more than intriguing. Washington State might be in the playoffs. Think about
that. You know,
this is the most. They've already won the most they've won since 2003 when Mike Price was there. The disgraced Mike Price. Remember that?
Yep.
Hardy's Angels at the strip club and everything.
Yep. Sure.
They are the best team outside the top four right now, and I'll tell you why. They're very balanced. Everybody wants to talk about Gardner Minshew and leading the country in passing. For some reason, in these last 2-3 years, Mike Leach's teams have played the best defense they've ever had under him. He lost his defensive coordinator, Alex Grinch, who went to Ohio, is now at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
But they are just playing good defense. And at home against Washington, who's a 9-3 team, they are getting some production lately, Washington, out of Myles Gaskin and Jake Browning. But I think this team, believe it or not, a Mike Leach team is pretty good in all three phases. Now, they're going to chuck the ball around a lot, and they're going to throw it 50, 60 times. But I also think they're going to shut down Washington. That's why I think they win this game.
Interesting. I take it your top four is the top four that is there, Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, and Notre Dame?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It's not too hard to go there right now.
Well, let me ask you a question, because I look at Georgia, and I know they have a loss. I understand they lost to LSU. Have Georgia Tech, I think tomorrow. Is it tomorrow? Yeah, I guess tomorrow.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech tomorrow. Your thoughts on the Bulldogs and where they are, where they might be able to get to?
Well, they control everything in front of them. They've clinched the spot in the SEC title game. They need to beat Georgia Tech to stay in the playoff race, but beat Alabama and they're in. They know that.
Yeah.
The issue with Georgia, and I've said this all years, I've seen them live a couple times, they're not as good as they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very, very good last year. They played for the national championship, probably should have won it. But they don't run it as well. They're not as good defensively. And I don't want to make it sound like they're deficient. I'm just saying this isn't the team it was last year. But it's as delicious as hell that Nick and he are going to hook up again, this time in the SEC title game, with everything on the line. So, I think they'll handle their rival, Georgia Tech, tomorrow, even with that Paul Johnson's option, and move on to Atlanta, and we'll go from there. But Alabama has a generational type player. He's a player like Tim Tebow, the college Tim Tebow, the only seed come along every so often.
Mm-hmm.
Stretches the field, can run it, incredibly quick arm, incredibly strong arm, smart, and the players follow him. I remember back right after January, first thing Nick said is, you got to win the locker room. And it sounded trite, but it's true. When the guy he replaced, Jalen Hurts, was 26-2 as a starter, he did it seamlessly without issue. And now this has a chance to be the best. It's already the best offense Nick Saban's had. It could be the best team he's had at Alabama.
I guess the difference between him and Tebow is that he will definitely take his game to the next level or the next stage, and probably won't have to go to baseball eventually.
Yeah, no, I think he's projected as a pro. I don't know how well he is projected as a pro since he's got another year of eligibility before he goes.
Yeah.
I haven't paid much attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he is. I just sitting here brainstorming. I have questions about his height. But, look at Drew Brees. Look at some of these guys playing now. So I'm probably nuts, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Hey, just a quick thing on Georgia, because you mentioned, and I would agree, they're not the same team that they were last year. But, Fromm has had, I guess, a decent season. Your thoughts on him and what he's done this year or hasn't done, or that you thought he might do?
Quietly efficient, just like last year.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the receivers he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the running backs. They have a two-headed running back, Elijah Holyfield and DeAndre Swift, who are very, very good. I wouldn't call either of them breakaway backs. At least they haven't been so far. But he's very efficient, in the upper 60s in completion percentage. Not very many interceptions, not a threat to run, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
The guy behind him, Justin Fields, he basically put on the bench, they were sharing time at the beginning of the season, the number one recruit in the country, a dual threat guy. It's Jake Fromm's show. That says something about him.
Yeah, interesting. Oh, Fields played last week, didn't he? I think he played a little bit toward the end of the game.
I think he played a little bit because it was obvious that he could play.
Gotcha.
From about the third game on, he didn't play much at all.
Gotcha. Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports joining us here on the Fan, Ohio State and Michigan tomorrow in Columbus. Dennis there for that one, and a noontime kickoff. A lot of good games. Games tonight, as a matter of fact, that we've talked about too. You wrote a very interesting column on Bill Snyder, at the K-State coach, and what lies ahead for him. And he still has, 4 years left on a 5-year deal, something like that?
2022, they extended it before the season,
What are your thoughts on that situation? Things obviously have not gone as well lately for him, but he is a legend. Obviously, he's got a contract in his hand, too, as he creeps into his 80s.
Well, you're talking about one of four coaches ever to be elected to the Hall of Fame, College Hall of Fame, that were active.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually 3 years ago. I mean, it's already happened. 215 wins, 27 years. Anybody who's followed college football knows how State was. It to the point that in 1989, when he was hired, they were considering dropping football or dropping down to FCS. That's how bad they were. And he's got it back. He retired for 3 years from 06 to 08 and came back. He's won a couple of conference titles, but it just seems like it's time. You can't put your finger on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a general lack of talent on the roster. He's 79 years old. Where is the program going? But you say all that, and if they win tomorrow at Iowa State, they're going bowling. It's 6-6.
Six and six.
I am told that he will not retire. I'm also told that he may not be the coach next year. So what does that look like when you've got an icon sitting there? I don't know. And that's what I wrote about. It's those little things in the program that are breaking down. There are allegations of these withheld bowl rings, withheld scholarship checks from players in the past. And I have people contacting me, DMing me, saying, hey, I've got a whole bunch of stuff contacting me. I don't want to go there, I don't think. I've already written a story. The man has done what he's done. He deserves to go out on his terms, but it may not be on his terms.
Yeah. No, it's very true. You mentioned, I think, in the article, too, that, you know, he's beaten throat cancer.
Yep.
His grandson, tragically, I believe, committed suicide. And I wonder, you know, whether that allows him, you know, I guess whether there's some empathy or sympathy from, you know, from the K-State people in that regard because of what he has gone through recently.
I will tell you this, the general feeling, and I feel good saying this, the general feeling of the fans who have been as loyal as anyone in the country to their program and the coach is, like I said, it's just time. You know, it's like, Bill, thanks so much, but we need to move on. And this is a program that on its best day has to be nurtured and fed every single day of the year because of what I just told you. They were the laughing stock of the country. If you don't keep it going, if you don't spend money, you don't recruit hard in probably the most isolated campus, major college campus in the country, then you're going to lose it.
Yep.
It's that hard.
Mm-hmm. Quick last thing, Dennis. I didn't even see the games. I've been working here, but Texas-Kansas today, and Kansas made it close anyway with their upheaval there against Texas.
Yeah, they did. But, you know, again, they're looking forward at Kansas to Les Miles. And
right.
I already got a text from my son who works there, so the Les era has begun. and they will go forward. It's one of the most fascinating stories for next season and the off season. See what he does with this with this moribund program that has been as bad as it's ever been, and it was pretty bad back in the '80s. So we'll see. I don't begrudge the man. I think there's no agenda. He just wants to coach ball. For some reason, college football drew the line at Les Miles. Wouldn't hire him. I don't know why. I don't know if it was his age. Or what? But he's 65. He projects to 55. He's got all his hair. He's got energy. He can recruit, and he'll get Kansas on SportsCenter. They will be better.
Reference Bill Snyder. You know, if Les Miles has problems in that regard. You know,
there you go.
He's been around. Dennis, always enjoy talking with you. Thanks very much. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Hope you get a good one. Okay.
All right, Ed. Thank you so much.
You got it.